Back.
Hi, friends.
This is Bev.
And this is Diz.
And this is
Trigger Warning.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're too kind.
All right, Diz. I'll hand it over to you because
okay.
This is your time to shine.
This is all me. Okay. Well, hi, guys. Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
Welcome back. We're so glad you could join us. So tonight.
Well, it's night for us. We're recording in the evening time.
We're going to be talking about a natural disaster. So as
naturally.
Far as trigger warnings, it's not like our normal situations that we're talking about, like with true crimes and stuff. There's obviously going to be a lot of death. And that's really about it.
Yeah.
It's just a whole bunch of death
that's
and
a lot.
Sadness. So
yeah,
I just wanted you guys to be aware of that.
And I'm assuming with the topic, there's going to be some drowning.
Yes, that is true. It's
that,
has
that's
to do
a trigger
with
for me because I'm scared of drowning.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah, can't think too long about it. So that's why I did a deep dive into it.
See what you did
it?
There.
Okay, woo. I'm so funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, guys, so let's get started. So listen, we're going to go on over to China in 1931. Oh.
This is a long time ago in a land far away.
Yes. And I have notes and I'm going to be scrolling back and forth and it's going to be great. So we're going to sort of start in like June of that year, but then we're going to go backwards a little bit.
Okay.
So 1931, we're in central and eastern China. Mm-hmm. So near Wuhan, which we all are sort of aware of that particular city.
Yes.
And Nanjing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So China, you know, there has been people in China for
a very long time.
Yes, I'm
much
gonna
longer
pretend
than the U.S. for sure.
Absolutely, and
much, much longer.
A lot of people, would settle near a river, right?
Mm-hmm.
Freshwater fishing.
Yeah, any
all the things,
any and then like once, settlements and civilizations,
right. And then they start boating
start
down the river
yeah.
And they trade. And okay, so you know, a lot of things. A lot of times the settlements are near rivers, so that's why this is the way it is, okay?
Okay.
So in 1931, there were three rivers in China, the Yellow, the Yangtze, and the Huai, that all flooded, okay?
Oh, that's not good.
And now, we're going to talk about the flooding. The reasons why there was flooding. So China, in the 2 years previous, had a really bad drought.
Oh.
For like two, almost 3 years.
Yeah,
so,
that's not good. You would think that after a drought that a lot of rain would be good. But the problem is the ground is so hard, it like the rain just settles on top. It takes
that's
a while
exactly
for it to seep
happened.
Into the earth.
Yeah, everything was
so
all the waterways, rivers, creeks, everything. Were so dry, and it's like cement, essentially.
Yeah. It's like landing on pavement, and it doesn't have anywhere to go. Like, it takes a while for it to start absorbing it, really.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it's very dry. Not a lot of water. Then, in the winter of so that was from, like, 28 to 1930. So then, in the winter of 1930, we have huge snowstorms, okay? Massive snowstorms, quite a few. And then the spring comes and they have super heavy rain.
While the snow is melting.
While the snow is melting, exactly. And it actually made more snow melt at the top, like on the mountains where the rivers start.
Oh, yeah.
To begin
like
with.
The source, yeah. The source
yes.
of the rivers, yeah.
Because there was so much rain, it was obviously going to melt the snow. Mm-hmm.
And these are mountains that are probably usually kind of white-capped throughout.
Right.
Some of the taller ones.
And there's like, you know, they have rainy seasons, but it's not like this.
Right.
Also, the Yellow River has a lot of sediment, and it starts at a plateau. So the sediment was coming down the river, and sediment is fine until it stops.
Right.
And then it builds up. Right. So that was another thing that was just one of those quote unquote perfect storm situations.
Right. Yeah. I was getting that was exact words I was getting ready to use.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about this sediment. It said 75% of it was deposited in the lower reaches and of the river, and it caused the actual river floor to rise up. So the river wasn't as deep as it normally would be.
So it takes less.
So it took less to fill it up.
Wow. It was a perfect storm.
Also, as a final nail in the coffin for them, that year of 1930, China was hit with strong multiple cyclones from the Pacific Ocean.
And cyclones are essentially just what they call them.
They're hurricanes.
Hurricanes. Monsoons, cyclones, in the US. Typhoons, they're all kind right. They're all the same thing, they're just called different
so
things.
So in like a normal year for China, they'd have about two.
Right.
Two cyclones.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
That year they had nine.
Holy crap.
But it gets worse. In July alone, they had seven.
Oh.
They had Holy seven in in the month of July.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So they have snow in that winter. You know, okay, so they have hard ground. Mm-hmm. Then they have snow. Then they have heavy rain. Then they have extra sediment coming through mm-hmm. because of all that rain that's coming through the rivers. And then they have nine hurricanes, essentially.
Wow. And seven in 1 month. That's crazy.
Not to mention China in this time, there was a lot of rebellion. Mm-hmm. You have like the Chinese Communist Party, and we're not going to get into all that, but that definitely kind of affects the aftermath
right,
of
it
flooding.
Affects, yeah, how
getting help
the responses.
And all that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But like, so things are kind of crazy. So let's see.
And who knows how their weather prediction services were at that point, too.
Yes. So like, they had like kind of modern farming technology because mm-hmm. there was lots of farmers in that area, fishermen and everything. But the problem, another issue was the government programs that were in charge of maintaining the rivers and things around it weren't doing their job.
Right.
So they weren't maintaining rivers in whatever way they would have back then.
Right.
So,
because before they could have watched for like banks that like were that, like landslides.
Yes.
They could have, you know, they could have removed some of the sediment or something like that. Or,
and
you
well,
know, like,
and so they overused the area near the river because there's water there. That's where crops are going to grow.
Right.
But also they built dikes and dams, and mm-hmm. they didn't keep those
maintained.
Up to date.
Yeah.
It actually said that the dams that were meant to control the river were built incorrectly.
Nice.
And the forest and wetlands, which usually regulated the river, had been destroyed because they were building city. So when all of this happened in 1931, the river was...
There was nothing
there was
to control
no way
it.
This river could fight it if you, like
yeah.
like it's a thing you
yeah.
know. The dams broke and it was a hot mess, let me tell you, because I've seen some pictures. But we're going to move on to August of 1931.
Okay,
so our three rivers, the Yellow, Yangtze, and Huai rivers, had flooded, and they had flooded so badly that most of central China was underwater.
Oh wow.
Now, you know, China is huge, and I don't know exactly how big it is, like, on the map, but we'll get into, like, square kilometers and stuff. Over 100,000 people were killed in the immediate flooding. The flooding, of course, killed crops, any livestock they had,
mm-hmm.
wiped out the grain storage facilities that they had for, like, rice
right.
and different things. Houses and, like, entire communities were just leveled. And roads were
obliterated,
like, exactly
washed away,
perfect.
Washed out,
washed away
yeah.
because it's 1931.
Right.
So a lot of the, rural communities, the people were ended up just, they were homeless because they were the ones that are living closest to the rivers.
Right.
They're the farmers and the fishermen and that kind of thing.
Right.
So they are homeless. They have no food. And there's no way for aid to get to them because the roads are washed out. So the flooding was so bad that, so this happened in August. Into the fall, they were still underwater. There was still water above ground.
So that means that, I mean, by then that the water would have had time to sink in. So it was just saturated at that point.
Yes. And that meant farmers couldn't plant crops for the next year.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if they did get seed, they had nowhere to plant it. So they had no crops for the next year.
Right.
So you know that's going to be an issue.
Yes.
Okay. The government was disorganized, seriously weak from all the wars that they'd had in like the last decades. They couldn't get enough resources or people to help. And so people were just stranded in their little villages. Millions starved to death. And then disease starts to sweep through. We know that happens very quickly.
Of course.
When you have standing water and then just poor...
Standing water, decaying bodies, decaying livestock.
So disease...
That means they had no clean water to drink.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So disease was horrible, and that killed probably more than anything was the disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually one of the worst situations that they have to deal with. So they're stuck in their villages. They don't really have homes. They have no food. No one can come help them. The government's...
And of course, when they get sick, there's no medicine. There's no incoming help for that either.
So in the kind of... medical issues, they had like cholera, dysentery, malaria, like serious things. And of course, children and older people are always the first ones that get hit with that and are the least
weakened
that can,
immune systems. Right. Yeah.
So some people to have food, they would eat grass, tree bark, dirt. Like they would just eat literally whatever they could get their hands on.
That's so sad.
And it said in a couple of places that they even resorted to cannibalism at times.
Unfortunately, when there's something that happens like this, that's, I mean, when you're desperate and you're trying to feed a family or, you know, whatever you have left. So many people probably lost everything. And so the little things they had left, they were trying to keep.
Absolutely.
That's frustrating, though, because you think about, like, they had a couple years of drought, and they were probably praying for rain.
Right.
And then, like, everybody prayed too hard. Like, everybody should have taken turns, because apparently they got way too much.
As far as the immediate flooding when it occurred, it was estimated by the University of Nanjing that about 150,000 people drowned right then.
Wow.
Which was less than a quarter of all fatalities during the first 100 days. Because it rained for a long time, too. Because of all the cyclones and stuff.
Yeah.
It was like...
It's like just as one was probably stopping, another one would hit. So they never got a relief in between.
The official Chinese report said 140,000 drowned. 2 million died from drowning or starvation. Then we had another 31,974 deaths from a cholera epidemic that started the next May because it was still a bad situation there. So they were fighting cholera.
So almost a year later.
And there's another reason for this, and I'll tell you that in a minute.
Okay.
So, long drought, harsh winter. I'm just going to sum it up. There was a ton of snow, snow and ice in the mountains. That is where the rivers began, because it usually comes down. Gravity, we love it.
It's
in
helpful.
1931, starts to melt. There was a heavy rain during the spring, brought more water. They usually have three periods of high rain or high water, and that's spring, summer, and fall.
Right.
And in 1931, it was considered a single continuous deluge.
Wow.
Like, it was just like, constant water coming
in. Were these rivers all like near each other, I guess, too?
I think they all fed together because there's also like a Pearl River and a Grand Canal that overflow that were flooded and people were near it. Because then you get
near
the cities.
They were obviously close enough that their floodplains ended up kind of merging together probably.
And in my head, it's just flat.
Yeah.
Except for those mountains over in the distance kind of thing. I don't know if that's right.
It's probably kind of right, yeah. Or hilly or something like that, but still like... They were probably kind of in a valley, and everything kind of flowed into the area. or multiple valleys, I guess, since it was a large, because China is really large, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Massive. So, and, you know, in July, they had all of the, those seven cyclones, and then two more within that summertime. And it said that weather stations that were set up along the river reported over 24 inches of rain for the month. Wow. So that's 2 feet for a whole month.
That's crazy. Because you can get flash flooding when there's like 5 inches of rain.
Yeah, especially if it's been really dry.
Yeah, yeah.
We know how that is in our area. So also they had additional rain that fell far into the fall time. And some of the rivers, because of this, didn't return to quote-unquote normal levels until November. All right. Floodwaters, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Covered 70,000 square miles.
Wow.
That's 8.5 million acres of farmland that was covered by the floodwaters. This is equal...
It was like another ocean.
Okay, here's for all of our U.S. peeps. Uh-huh. This is equal to the area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
Wow.
So first of all, China's huge.
Yeah.
Secondly, that's a lot of water.
Yeah.
That is a lot of water.
That is insane.
Yeah. A high water mark in the Wuhan, city of Wuhan, which is like one of the main cities, on August 19th, showed a water level at 53 feet above average.
Oh my god! Oh my gosh!
53 feet above average. 53
feet. And this was—if these were just villages, they probably didn't have multi-level houses. Oh,
that's another thing. We're going to talk about that too.
Oh my gosh! I'm so smart.
You're so smart. So at this time, the Chinese government estimated about 25 million people had been affected by the flooding. Historians think that it's probably as high as 53 million that were affected
in some way.
Said about 15% of the wheat and rice crops were destroyed throughout the valley. And of course, in the really flooded areas, it was more than 15%.
It was decimated.
So that caused widespread famine and prices increased because they weren't going to have any
shortages.
Because all of those storage things were gone.
Yeah.
And that's one of their main exports.
Right.
As well. So yeah, they were eating tree bark and people sold their children.
Oh gosh.
People resorted to cannibalism, as we said earlier. So, they've survived the flooding. Now it's the aftermath. What do? It's a mess. There's mud, muck. People are dead. Dead bodies everywhere. Animals. Trees all over the place. There's no sanitation.
Wow.
There's tons of people that are still left with nowhere to go.
Right.
There's overflowing sewage that mixed in with the floodwaters that were still there.
Right.
So, like, the rickshaw drivers, you know, those guys that would pull the little things, they were wading through sewage water.
Oh, my gosh. That's
to take
gross.
Other people in the rickshaws. And then people were balancing on awnings, waiting to go across to stay out of the water.
That is horrible. I mean, if you wade through something like that and you have, like, a little cut on your leg or something, you know.
Who knows what you would
no
have.
It's no wonder it's no wonder they had so many diseases and stuff.
Yeah.
Parasites and all kinds of stuff, I bet.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that, too, in a minute. So, the streets basically ended up being, like, canals because there was so much water.
Ugh.
And so, the boatmen called sampan, I think, they usually, like, scraped by. They didn't make a lot of money. Well, that you would usually ferry, like, cargo over across the rivers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now they were water taxis for anyone who wanted to go anywhere. So, of course, they could ask for whatever they wanted as far as the price.
Right.
Because, if not that anyone had anything. It said those who could not afford the grossly inflated fares took to the water in a bizarre flotilla of improvised vessels.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they put together whatever they had.
Rafts made from doors. Inflated goat skins and wooden bathtubs. Some people even emptied out coffins and used them as canoes.
Oh my, can you imagine, like, neighbor Rick rides by in a coffin and just waves?
Right?
That's insane.
That's like, I'm just getting ready for the inevitable. And it's not like
they had to dig the people up, because any people that were buried were probably...
were up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been just... yeah, they would have just come up.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to move from the farmlands into Wuhan, okay, one of the main cities, okay? Okay.
So it was more of a city than a village.
It was a city.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I've just found a picture of the street that's a canal.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That used to be a street. Anyway.
Wow.
Okay, moving on. So refugees from these flooded areas had been trying to get to Wuhan since like spring, and some of them had made it. Mm-hmm. So they had been kind of coming in through the spring and summer. In early summer, the city became inundated with flooding because a dike failed.
Oh gosh.
On July 27th. And that flood covered 32 square miles of the city. It left the city underwater for almost 3 months, under feet of water.
So these people escape their flooded farmland, get to the city, and
are
then
okay
it floods
for a little bit, and then another flood.
Wow.
And the dike failed.
These people were sick of water.
So it left over 780,000 citizens of Wuhan and all the refugees homeless. So you now have, we'll just say 800,000 people.
Right.
Okay.
And it was probably more than that.
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
So they would get together on what they called flood islands in the city. And it said in one instance, they were on a railroad embankment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's water everywhere. So there's like 30,000 people on this embankment area. So disease started spreading again.
Yeah.
Now, like you said earlier, most of the buildings were only one story high.
Right.
Okay. When the flood actually, like when the waters came, it said tens of thousands died because there was just nowhere to go.
Yeah.
If they're on the ground, even going up one level higher was not enough to save them.
Right.
And there was no warning. Like, it's not like they were like, oh, there's a flood coming. You know, they might be like, what's that noise? So they actually spoke to...
And there was
to-
probably not any, especially in a city, if there was a lot of, like, city space, there was probably not a lot of higher ground either.
Exactly.
Like hills and stuff.
Right.
That's why there were so many people on that embankment, because
it was
actually elevated.
Yeah. Exactly. So they actually spoke to a survivor. His name is Jin Chilong. He was a senior engineer at a flood prevention agency. And he survived, he said, because he was in a newly built three-story building. So he could look out and see it happening, he said.
Oh my gosh.
Because he's like, they
had
nowhere.
What a helpless feeling, too.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he had family there.
Absolutely.
If that's where he worked, he had family in the city, I'm sure. And to look out and see this water just coming and knowing there's nothing I can do and all these people are getting wiped out.
Well,
and
not
nothing.
Even knowing if you were still going to survive.
Right. Yeah.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
So in August, the floodwaters washed away dikes in Nanjing, which is the capital of the Republic of China at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That resulted in about 18,000 drownings.
Wow.
And then 58,000 people died the following year from famine and disease there.
Wow.
So these dikes right there for the capital, obviously they needed new ones, they needed better ones, but they had initially in like 1920 been like, hey, we should make a big, huge dam, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great plan. And it just didn't happen. And then this happened. And then World War II happened. And then.
Uh-huh.
So they finally began rebuilding in 1980.
50 years later. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
They were building what's called the Hydroelectric Three Gorges Dam.
Oh, is this that huge one?
It's the biggest in the world.
In the world. That's what I thought. Yeah. Because people were like, if this fails, then China is screwed.
Yes.
If the dam fails, China is screwed.
Like, they're wiped away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was in full operation by 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a power station.
Right.
So, that's fantastic.
Hydroelectric power.
I said it's the largest in the world.
Uh-huh.
1919 is when they first proposed constructing this dam.
Okay.
And they were like, oh, that's a fantastic idea. They began working in 1932.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a year after all this mess.
Right.
In 1954, the Yangtze River flooded again.
Mm-hmm.
Killed more people. Was like, hey, we really need this barrier. We need some defenses against
right.
the water. China was still a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
The economy was still not right. great. This was 54, so this is after World War II.
Right.
You know, it's been a little bit of time, but they're disorganized. But also, what money they do have, they're stretching it across the entire country. They just couldn't. They're like, we can't do this. We can't complete this right now. In the late 80s, the government was like, okay, we got to get on this.
Right.
Okay.
It's like, okay, it's been like over 50 years.
Yeah,
we're going to end up with another situation like we had back then if we don't do something.
And there's even more people living here
yeah.
now. So in 92, the government approved the dam to actually start construction.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually started the construction in 93.
Okay.
In 2003, they opened the dam. And then in 06, it started to actually generate power for the area.
Okay.
It was completed in 2012, okay?
Wow.
So we've gone from 1919 proposal to 2012. It's complete. Like, it's all complete.
Almost 100 years.
Right?
To go from, we should build this thing, to actually having it built.
Said it took over 80 years to complete.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if they had that built, at least by 1954, that the Yangtze, if it had flooded again, wouldn't have been an
right.
issue. And when going back to that summer, the cyclones,
mm-hmm.
they had a monsoon occur then.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it was like a constant deluge of water,
right.
they said. It's not like, because there was like
yeah,
in between.
I mean, they're used
it
to.
It stopped.
Yeah.
But like it was because of the monsoon, it came right after the spring rains ended. So they got no relief in between
right.
spring and fall. They also had an El Nino event.
What?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was in July.
So the same year, 1930?
1931.
One. Oh, gosh.
So there's that.
Wow.
An interesting thing. Charles Lindbergh and his wife were at this time conducting a survey flight of the Great Circle Route from New York to Tokyo.
Okay.
So they were actually flying mm-hmm. across the world. This brought them into China during this flood time. And so they could look down and see what was happening. The plane's name was the Cirrus.
Mm-hmm.
So they would actually go and look at the flood damage. And she would like write in her diary or her journal. And she talked about how they would notice like the rivers and some crops. And then they couldn't see those crops anymore. And then it was just a big lake all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lake got bigger and bigger because the water just kept coming. And she said, it did not have the look of fields covered with water, deep and wide, horribly still and permanent. It looked as though it had always been there and would always stay.
It probably felt like it would always stay to the people who lived there.
Yeah. So it said there was like no dry land for miles. So yeah, we were talking about how it was like the size of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, that mm-hmm. whole area that mainly.
Yeah.
It said it was also equal to like all of England and half of Scotland size. That's the
wow.
size. If you need another
yeah.
example. While they were flying around, they did try to save people,
mm-hmm.
but they had very limited space in their plane because it's 1931.
Yeah, and they had nowhere to land.
Right. So, but they did try to help or bring supplies uh-huh. if they could, which is awesome,
yeah.
but there's no way they could get enough
yeah,
to actually
help. Yeah,
because
if you think about, too, in the U.S. at this time, the Great Depression was going on.
Yes. And this was a seaplane, also, what they
oh,
were
okay,
flying.
So they could kind of land
so
in the water.
So they could land in the water. But it said when they did, they were immediately surrounded by people.
Yeah.
In the boats, like, begging.
Begging for help, and, yeah.
They wanted food.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really care about medical supplies. They just wanted to eat.
Yeah.
God,
that is so sad.
They even had doctors with them sometimes, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would get so swamped that sometimes the doctors would actually pull out guns and be like, step back. You got to get away. You can't.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to make us drown.
Right.
By, yeah.
You got to pull the plane down. Wow. At least they tried. And that, I mean, a lot of people that would have been like, there's so much there. There's not anything I can do. And they would have just not even tried. So bless them for trying.
Well, and they were trying to actually get to going so they could actually like get up.
Yeah, take off, yeah.
That's the word. And there was like an elderly couple in a boat, and the doctor's like, get out of the way, we're going to hit you and kill you. Mm-hmm. And the lady's like, what matters? We have nothing anyway.
Right.
So they didn't even care if they got hit by the plane.
Wow. Faster death than starving to death or dying of, you know, cholera or dysentery or malaria or anything else.
Yes, and measles also was an issue as well.
And they're probably, like I said, there were probably like intestinal parasites and stuff like that because of the sewage and, my gosh.
So, let's talk about that for a second.
Okay. I don't know if I want to.
Talking about parasites.
Parasites.
Okay, so I did a deep dive into this. This is a specific disease that a lot of people got.
Okay.
So you have, you know, cholera, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to try to pronounce this. You have more medical knowledge, so...
I'll try. I'm practically a doctor.
Practically.
Not at all. Do not take my medical advice. Thank you.
Okay, so it's... it is... Schistosomiasis. Shut your mouth. That is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Schistosomiasis. It's a parasitic flatworm, for those of you that don't know. And they're actually found in freshwater snails. Okay. This is classified as one of the neglected tropical diseases.
Right.
Because you got to think you're also in tropical climate, which I don't think about over there in
China.
And
a lot of the tropical climates are third world countries.
Yes.
And that's why there is a classification of neglected tropical diseases, because it doesn't affect the rich.
This particular disease is the second most dangerous parasitic disease after malaria.
Wow.
And I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard of it, and I've heard stories about it. And actually, I'll just plug another podcast, even though this is like our like sixth episode, and we're not, you know, big yet. But
right,
if you've never listened to a podcast called "This Podcast Will Kill You," you should, because it's awesome, and it's all medical stuff and the history of these different diseases, parasites, everything, and it's really good. So "This Podcast Will Kill You," it's awesome. Okay, continue.
Yes, go listen to that, guys.
And one of their episodes is on schistosomiasis.
Oh, I might have to go check that out.
Then. Yeah.
So children were at a great risk for this. Diarrhea, fever, you know, those basic things that we think of.
That dehydrate you more when you have no fresh water and no food.
Exactly.
Because your body can't fight. That's why you're supposed to eat when you have a cold, when you have the flu. There's not that. Starve a fever and feed a cold,
yeah.
That's bull. You need to eat because your body needs the energy to fight the disease.
You just need to eat.
And these people had no food and no water.
Yeah.
And so when they got diseases, they were just ravaged by them.
So it said that chronic cases, because I can't remember how to say that word already.
Of schistosomiasis.
Mm-hmm, can cause serious damage to your liver, the intestines, and the bladder. And specifically in children, if they have repeated infections, it could lead to anemia and stunted growth because they aren't getting the nutrients that they need.
Man. And that's if they survive it.
Right. Yeah. And so when I went into this deep dive of this, it showed like at-risk areas.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's actually Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Asia, so southern China and Southeast Asia, like Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, and the Philippines, Corsica in Europe. And it said specifically like there's ongoing transmission and spread. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that situation is.
Yeah.
I didn't even go into that. Brazil, Venezuela.
Well, because snails,
I
mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're, you know.
So in the Americas, South America, Brazil, and Venezuela were specifically mentioned.
Along the equator. Tropics.
The Caribbean. Rainforest. It said it's low risk in the Caribbean. But like Antigua, Dominican Republic, Montserrat, Puerto Rico, all these places. Even the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Yemen.
This is another reason why it's important to wash your garden vegetables.
Oh, gosh.
Wash them off, because if a snail leaves behind anything and you consume it, you can get this and it can kill you.
So people were dying from that, or not dying from that, but just having to deal with the symptoms and complications of that,
mm-hmm.
whilst also dealing with everything else.
Yeah.
So after the floods, you know, the government, like we have been talking about, they just were not in a place. They were not prepared. They didn't know. They couldn't do it. They were disorganized. They didn't have themselves together and couldn't provide resources or rescue efforts hardly for those areas.
These people were just left on their own to fend for themselves.
Their rice storage and like their exports were messed up, you know, that the rice and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, is going to affect the economy.
And it would have for a couple of years after, too.
Well, in fact, China had to start taking out loans from other countries, including the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it was without a guarantee of ever being able to repay it.
Right.
And that was just to keep the country afloat. So they didn't have to just, like...
Afloat? That's kind of a wrong term to use there.
But that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So, because of the grain, their major exports were non-existent. So the Communist Party of China used this to say, oh, your government can't help you. This would help. This would be better. You need new leaders. We can do it, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's easy to come in after a natural disaster and do like a coup or whatever and take over.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And as for the people, they estimated that about every family lost about a year and a half's worth of income during the floods. And then, you know, they couldn't plant for the next year for farmers. All the livestock were gone. So they couldn't eat that. They couldn't use the livestock. Not just like cattle, like ox or whatever they might have used for assistance on the farms, you know?
Yeah, to plow and to plant and to harvest and, like, yeah, oxes, donkeys, or whatever else they used. I'm not sure what they were using in China at that time.
Yeah, me neither. And they said also if they did have some of their own possessions, a lot of times they had to sell it just to be able to afford food.
Right.
Because they couldn't do it themselves. They would also sell their items so they could have shelter of some sort. And that's going to be something that affects them for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people are going to remember this.
Right.
Like, we talk about those people who lived through the Great Depression here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's usually our grandparents.
Right.
That lived through it. And they were thrifty. And they knew they also went through World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to have rations and all that.
They learned to hold on to what they had and save, and not just money, but like store food and like keep everything that they had possession wise because they didn't know if they would lose it.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to think when it's something like this in your country that has wiped out. So they think the total number of people is anywhere from like, oh gosh, I think 700,000 to 4 million people.
That is a huge range.
Right? So that is a lot of people.
But it's also because it was rural and there was no government oversight to come in and like to say, you know, this person from this address died. This person died. This person died. So even if they had a good census to begin with, they don't know who fled the area. Mm-hmm. They don't know who died. They don't know who's just missing.
Yeah. And in 1931 and 32 and 33, it's like, I don't know how advanced they were as far as the census. And I don't know. I think we kind of do it the same way every year anyway. But yep, yeah, like, you don't know exactly. Obviously, yeah, with that range, I think they're taking that into account because we'll never really know. Because
there were people that died immediately in the floods. There were people that died of disease. People that probably moved away and still ended up dying of disease. Like, yeah, the people who moved from the rural areas to Wuhan and then, you know, it flooded again and then they died there. I'm sure it was impossible to keep track, especially if there was no central government or central entity of some sort that was tracking it.
Right.
And there wasn't, because this was kind of unexpected, and there wasn't like in the US we have FEMA. There wasn't like,
right,
an agency or something, some part of the government that follows that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And especially in the early 30s.
Don't know either what else might have been happening elsewhere in the country.
Right.
China's huge.
Yeah.
We already know that.
And we know they already having political issues at the time with, you know.
And even all of this happening is still going to affect other cities.
Right.
So who knows about that? I was just looking at like the sediment that would get carried down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it deposits at the lower end and it, you know, raises the riverbed up.
Mm-hmm.
So normally what they would do when this started happening, because it happens.
Right.
Our own rivers nearby do that quite often.
Right.
They would just raise the level of the dike. But once they do this over and over and over.
Does it weaken the structure of the dikes? Or
the water ends up, because they had one story,
mm-hmm,
it starts to get so close to that.
Uh-huh.
Because they're building. Because the riverbed is still rising.
Rising, yeah. So it can't, yeah, they can't raise it high enough to outpace the sediment rising as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically, it said, when it's done over and over, the riverbed moves higher year after year, mm-hmm, until it's not just the high water level that lies above the roofs of people's houses, but the riverbed itself. Because they only have the one-story houses and buildings at the time. At that point, it said any breach could be calamitous.
Wow.
Because it's already going to be as tall as your house.
Right.
Period. Which is terrifying.
Yeah, the only thing they would be able to do is remove that sediment and dig out the bed of the river to make it deeper so that it wouldn't breach the banks as easily, but that takes a lot of heavy equipment and planning and money.
Yes.
And they didn't have this
in those villages.
That was like, they were farmers and stuff. Like, they didn't have that.
Well, the
daggone
country didn't have it.
Yeah.
The government didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, they were also talking about a specific dike that failed in the early summer that hadn't in 60 years. And it said that the breaches of that dike went on to compromise 90% of the dikes on the plain area, the Jinghan Plain,
mm-hmm,
the flat area. It actually compromised 90% of the dikes.
Because
that
then
had
they have to pick up
down
the slack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because then that's higher water and more pressure on those.
Like, they even talked about, like, so the rain didn't stop, and then you have the summertime, more storms come through, and then it's autumn. Then you get these high winds that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving this flood water everywhere because it's still flooded.
Right.
The water has nowhere to go. There were something called polders. Polders? P-O-L-D-E-R-S?
Yeah, I would think polders, yeah.
They were built to keep water out in these areas,
mm-hmm,
and now they had just turned into reservoirs of water.
Sounds like it was basically, like you said at the beginning, it was a perfect storm of just a combination of all the water, the rain, the hurricanes, the snow, the ice, the flat farmland, lack of government oversight and political climate of the time. And there was just nothing that could be done.
Like, they were doomed once it started.
Yeah.
Once those situations were in effect, there's
and
just
the roads
nothing
were
they
washed
could do.
Out and. And the roads probably weren't, like, I'm thinking of highways and stuff, but the roads
it's
weren't
dirt.
Highways. Yeah,
they're
they
dirt
were.
Roads.
Yeah. Dirt, stone, you know, like, stuff like that.
So this flooding affected 25 million people living in an area of about 70,000 square miles. 40% of the people in the affected regions were forced to migrate for the winter because they couldn't live where they were. The crops were worth about 900 million.
Wow.
That was lost.
And that was 900 million in 1930.
So that would be 14 billion today.
Wow.
And like we were saying earlier, you know, the Flood Relief Commission, they reported 140,000 people that drowned, but they're like, we'll never really know because there's no way we can be accurate with that. Yeah. And then once you talk about the flooding itself and the starvation and the diseases and then the more flooding that happened again and the diseases and all that, it's just modern estimates. It's like anywhere from 2 to 4 million.
Yeah.
We just don't know. But we know it's more than 140,000.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because even like the 700,000 that you mentioned earlier, 700,000 to 4 million, 700,000 seems like it would be on the low side for something that big.
Yeah.
Just the area that it covered. And there was nowhere, like you said, nowhere for them to go. This was on plains. This was on flat land. This is part of like the, like some of the Midwest and the U.S.
Yes.
Gets flooded. It's just flooded. There isn't high ground to go to because it's so flat and open.
And there were also like missionaries that were trying to help and like churches and guilds and stuff.
That just wasn't enough.
But they tried to help. And the flooding actually reached newspapers like in Britain by early July. But it wasn't until the 14th of August that they officially established the National Flood Relief Commission. And they were saying if obviously once it starts, they can't stop the flood.
Right.
But they're like, they could have helped in some way if they had had a commission together, something.
Right.
To be able to help.
Start providing relief that immediately. Area. Yeah.
Yeah. So they did lots of surveys, and the ones doing the surveys try to pat themselves on the back, as they do, because it's government, you know. They're the ones that were like, it affected about 25 million population, the total farm population affected by the flood, over 25 million. That is approximately equal to the entire agricultural population of the U.S.
Oh, wow.
And then they were talking about the people who were in the camps, like who were like refugees. And it said they weren't much better than anyone else.
Right.
They were literally squatting on any piece of dry land they could find. More people died in camps than they did in the rural communities because there was more space there.
Yeah.
They weren't right on top of each other.
Right.
So even like other countries helped. Japan apparently even helped. And that was a big deal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It said that the emperor had donated 100,000 yen, which is 10,000 sterling for the relief of Chinese sufferers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Japan definitely understands natural disaster. They have
all
the earthquakes and tsunamis and
typhoons
stuff.
And all that stuff. It says, in view of the growing signs of friction between the Chinese and Japanese, including the anti-Japanese boycott in China, the emperor's generous gift, it quotes, is of special interest. But then you find out he decided, let's invade them now.
What? Oh my God.
He wanted to expand the empire, and on September 18th, they began the invasion of Manchuria.
September 18th of, this was in 1931 or 30?
I think 31.
Wow.
It just blew my mind when I read that. So the,
Well, it's like I said earlier, it's either easier to take over and try to, you know, do some kind of coup or something and, you know.
Yeah, when they're weak.
When, yeah, everybody's weak and
And giving them money like, makes them think, oh, okay. Because they're not thinking about that right now.
Lull them into a false sense of security. Yeah.
And another bad thing is, the relief commission that they did had established had been trying to raise funds through like war bonds. And this new invasion caused the bond market to collapse completely. So they couldn't raise money anymore. Like there was just, it just wasn't working.
Wow. These poor people.
What a
dick move to do. Yeah.
So because Japanese were invading, they couldn't get the imports of wheat and flour that the U.S. was sending into Shanghai. There was still an ongoing Chinese civil war.
Right. Between, I guess, the Republic of China and the Communist Party, right?
So if they did get any sort of relief, medical supplies, food, whatever, they were having to transport it into areas with, like, bandits and people who would just steal it.
Right.
They would commandeer the relief supplies and whatever they were
They would set up blockades and
they would kidnap the relief workers that were working.
Oh, wow.
They would even kidnap them. They had been talking about repairing the dikes. The relief commission chairman was like, hey, people have talked that we should dredge the river and things like that. Let's just try to help the victims, give them food and shelter and medical assistance. Once the water goes away, let's try to repair the dikes, okay? Let's try to get those back to where they need to be.
Okay.
And he said to the status quo, basically to what they were before.
Right.
Because that worked really well.
Uh-huh.
Then the next year, 4 years later, is when they had that Yangtze flooded again and killed 145,000 people in 1954.
Wow. It's like, oh man, we almost made it. It's only been like 20 years and we almost got everything set back up again, but dang, that river flooded again.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Communist Party took over in 1949.
Okay.
Okay, just saw that. So that's kind of interesting to see how long it took.
Yeah.
Even though they had, for people to be like, yeah, let's do that. Anyway, they were talking about, the chairman of the Communist Party wrote, a poem about it called Swimming. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So I have some information about the dam in purple in my notes.
Okay.
So the dam itself was completed in time to be tested by the 2010 floods. It was reported to have successfully reduced the discharge and limited damage in lower areas.
That's good.
But of course, some people were like, it'll reduce the water of the rivers. Erosion's going to happen. It's going to make it worse. Landslides are going to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
It'll change the fish habitats.
Right.
The ecosystems. Animal habits.
Yeah.
And it was contributing to the demise of the Baiji, or Chinese river dolphin.
Yeah.
Dolphin.
Yeah, river dolphins are cool.
And it's freaky also, looking. The dam has also been cited as one of the main cause of at least 3,000 earthquakes.
What?
Yeah.
How does a dam cause?
It crosses two fault areas.
Oh, jeez.
And the vast scale of that reservoir, since it's so huge, it increases and decreases pressure on the earth. And it's called reservoir-induced seismicity.
Wow.
Because the pressure will reduce at times and then it'll increase.
Uh-huh.
And it's always
it's in fluctuation constantly.
And they said the full impact of what the dam will do, obviously, we won't know for quite a long time.
Right.
Exactly the effect it has.
And then if it's crossing over two faults, if there is an earthquake, it could very well collapse.
Yeah. So, all in all, the floods and all that aftermath, all of the disease and starvation and all of that killed almost 15 times the number of people that died in the 2004 Indonesian tsunami. To sort of put it in a perspective for most of us who have lived possibly through that particular event.
Yeah. And that was
15
huge.
Times.
Yeah.
And that was huge, huge.
That was couple hundred thousand people? 100,000 people? I can't remember exactly, but I remember it being a tremendous, sickening number of people that died in that.
227,898 people.
Wow. And this was 15 times more, and nobody's ever heard of it.
Yeah.
And that's partially because of what was going on with the Great Depression, was going on in other parts of the world, the fact that China had the warring parties at the time. So they probably weren't putting out that much information because they wanted everybody to think the country was perfect.
Absolutely.
And then, then World War II came up and everybody kind of just forgot. They had other problems by then.
Well, and there was no social media then.
Yeah.
It was newspaper or the radio.
Right.
And back then, there wasn't even the TV.
Yeah. And a lot of communist countries even now don't release a lot to the media.
They're not going
to
really tell you, especially if it's something bad.
It's just amazing that many people were affected and died, and possibly 4 million people in the course of a year and a half-ish.
Ish.
I mean, that is insane.
Like your brain can't really
Yeah, that's one of those numbers
it can't that's really understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like your brain goes so far and then it's like, look, I got to check out because I don't know how to process that.
Yeah. It's like, I know that's a lot, but that's like somebody handing me $4 million. I'd be like, this is more money than I could ever imagine. I have no idea what to do with this. Right. Like,
so anyway, it was a major issue and it was one that lasted for the first couple of years afterwards. It was horrible. But it still was felt even years later because, like that dam didn't get built for took almost 80 years actually to build
the dam.
That dam, and then now we're dealing with the issues that the dam might be causing.
Right.
But then it's like, okay, well, we have that, or we have flooding that will kill who knows how many people now.
Right.
So it's like you have to weigh that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have earthquakes, but we can sort of prepare for that with buildings and all that stuff. Yeah, so
that was a lot of water.
It was a lot of water. It was so, and I highly recommend you like Google it and look at the pictures and stuff.
I will first of all
I love seeing old photos anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just
it's amazing.
It's very humbling to see what they went through. Anyway, that's all I've got for today, guys.
That was plenty.
That was the 1931 China flood.
31, 32. Yeah.
Because 28 through 30 was when they had the drought.
Okay.
And then the precipitation began.
The precipitation.
In some form. You know, like the snow and the ice, and then
they should make a horror movie about this called The Precipitation.
The Precipitation.
I mean,
it's like The Mist, I think.
It's scary. Yeah. It's like, that's a lot.
Oh, Lord. Wow. Anyway, yeah, that was, it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Especially from 1931, because that was just a completely different time.
Yeah.
To see how they didn't
handle
it.
And you learned stuff about schistosomiasis.
Yeah, like how to say it and what it is.
Yeah.
And
about that podcast that you should check out.
Yeah.
This podcast will kill you. It's really good.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah.
But anyway,
listen to us.
Hope you guys enjoyed that. Yeah. It was pretty amazing to dig into.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And heartbreaking. It was really sad, too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll catch you next time.
Bev will bring one of her amazing stories to life.
I might get into some spooky stuff next time.
Oh, please do. We haven't done spooky.
Because we've had lots of, buzzkill kind of stuff.
Yeah, let's get some spooky.
Yeah, maybe we'll also get some spooky stuff in here. Cool. All right, well, everybody, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, watch for deer.
Watch for deer. Bye.
Bye.